You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful night, and thank you so much for tuning in and supporting all that we're doing here on the podcast. It's been amazing. You guys have been amazing out there checking us out and subscribing and downloading, and it's just a real pleasure. Of course, I'm your host, Brent Thomas. This is the Paranormal Portal podcast, and once again, special thanks to Revolver Podcast for making all this possible. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please let me know. You can email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. We got a great show lined up for you guys today. I got a gentleman joining us who he and his family have had an incredible amount of experiences, and this is really exciting. You guys are going to love this, so hang on to your socks because we're going in. Welcome to the show, David. How you doing? David from North Carolina is joining us today, and he and his family have had just a plethora of things going on in their world. But welcome to the show, brother.
Well, thank you, sir. Glad to be here.
I'm really thrilled that you made it and that we got this all worked out. It's just a pleasure. And I guess, you know, in all these stories, probably the best place to start is, where did it start? Where did all this begin for you guys?
Well, like I was telling you a little bit, when I was 16, my grandma had an old eerie house in this uptown New York, and we went to visit her, and one of my friends went with me, because obviously I'm 16, I'm not trying to hang out with my parents, and so one of my friends went with me, and, you know, we did the whole, you know, went to Niagara Falls and came back, and we was hanging out, and anyway, a couple of days later, my parents went to town. You know, we don't want to hang out with parents. We're 16 years old, so we stayed at my grandma's house. They went to town, and you know, they didn't have a shower there. They just had a bathtub. I mean, this old house probably 1900s, early 1900s. Uh-huh. So you know, I'm up there taking a bath, and I hear footsteps, and you know, I had a door open, and I saw something walk by, and I thought it was my buddy of mine. I was like, what in the world's he doing up here when I'm taking a bath? So you know, I'm kidding us later, I get out and dry off, and his name was Stacy. I went to there. I said, Stacy, what the hell was you doing walking around? He said, man, I ain't left. He said, I heard something walking around up there too. He said, but I, you know, wasn't me. He said, I thought you got out and was walking around. I said,
no. Wow.
So we kind of dismissed that. We had a little dog, a chihuahua. Her name was Tilly. And so we was down there and watched TV. We kept hearing something walking. It sounded like loud, heavy boots walking and walk. On the second floor, you could hear it walk almost to the edge of the staircase and walk back.
Oh, man.
And kept hearing it, and my dog heard it. She walked the stairs, and it walked close, and it started coming down the stairs. And so we're freaking the hell out, and my dog is over there, and she looks up there, puts her ears back, and hauls butt to the door. Why? And, well, yeah, we did too. And so we went outside, and my parents came home, and I told them, and they were like, you know, they just dismissed it and laughed it off. My dad was World War II veteran, and, you know, tough guy, and he just, you know, laughed at me and told me I was crazy as hell. So, you know, but that was the first time anything that weird ever happened to me.
And, wow.
You know, he still remembers that. You know, I saw him probably 4 or 5 years ago when we talked about it. But, well, anyway, we live in North Carolina. We're originally from Virginia. That's where I met my wife. That's where we got married. And in 1999, my parents called. It was actually a Tuesday, I believe it was after Labor Day. My mom and dad got in a car accident. The woman was high on every drug known to man, and she hit him head on, and my mom didn't make it.
Oh, I'm sorry. And,
yeah, my dad was in Chapel Hill for 30 days in ICU.
Wow.
So we packed up, and my wife was, you know, like I said, she's a really good woman. She packed up, you know, because her mom and her whole family was in Virginia. My parents had moved to North Carolina in 94, I believe. And so my dad needed somebody to take care of him, and she said, well, let's sell our house here. Let's move down here and take care of your dad.
Oh, cool.
So we moved down here. My wife took care of my dad. I mean, did everything for my dad for 4 or 5 months, and he ended up passing away of congestive heart failure.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, and 2 weeks before that, my grandma passed away. So within, you know, that span,
yeah,
had, you know, got kind of a bad period of my life. Well, we bought the house that my mother and father lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought that, and we stayed there till March of this year, actually.
Oh, okay.
But and well, nothing really went on there, and everything was quiet. My wife's mom lived in Virginia. She got really sick. She had cancer. And so my wife said, let's move mom in. I said, that's fine. I love your mom. Sweetest lady ever. If there was an angel, her mom would have been an angel.
Aww.
I mean, the sweetest woman you ever would meet, would do anything for anybody. Just sweet. So she, you know, she moved in with us. Well, she passed away in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife went through about the same thing I did. She lost her brother, her dad, and her mom within a year.
That's tough. Wow.
Yes, and you know, she's still not over it. She's still really, I mean, she went through a depression, and I mean, just deep, I mean, just. She went through a lot, but I mean, she's better now, a little bit, but her depression was bad for a while.
I bet.
Well, and we started having some, you know, some weird things happen. For one instance, my daughter's TV was on in her bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife said, Sierra, that's my daughter's name, if you don't start cutting your damn TV off, I'm going to plug it. So she got about 3 steps from TV just shut off.
Ooh.
My wife didn't touch it. TV just shut off.
Oh, no. Wow.
And I was like, that was weird. And she's like, yeah, it was weird. And I said, well, all right. So a couple of other things happened. And then, you know, we was taking a shower one day. I was taking a shower with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And had the door shut. And the doorknob kept, you could hear it turning. And like the door was like getting pushed in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was the kids messing with us. So I'm yelling. I said, we're taking a shower, kids. He was like, well, kept doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I jump out of the shower. I'm mad as hell right now. So my kids are messing with me. Swing the door open. Nobody there.
Oh, man.
And about a week later, my wife was like, she told me to come in the bathroom. I said, what? She's like, look up the top of the mirror. I was like, what? She's like, there's handprints. I was like, wow. All right. So she cleans them off. 2 hours later, they're back again.
Oh, man.
And that Oh, that happened. I don't know how many times that happened. handprints on the mirror, and I worked. You know, I drove a truck then, so I get home. You know, not terribly late, but 7, 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd come in the house, and she'd just be in there. And she'd be like, "Look, I can't. You have to get another job. You have to be here before it gets dark." I was like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "Me and the kids hear stuff walking up and down this damn hall all day, all night." And she said, it's starting to freak me out. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that'd be creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then I heard one night, and it sounded like cowboy boots walking down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
And then walk up the hall. And go out there, and nobody there.
Oh.
And see, my kids just started filling me in on some of the stuff that's happened to them while I was there, because they count, you know, I mean, my daughter's, she's 17, but she's really... And like I said, she's like a loner. She doesn't want to talk to anybody. She's really, she don't want to talk about her feelings or anything.
Oh, okay.
Like that. She's,
sure.
But now, you know, this happened over the course of a couple of years. Nothing really threatening happened. And,
right.
Well, then some more stuff started happening that was, you know, got a little more threatening. I was laying in bed one night, and this is what shook me up pretty good. And it, you know, thinking about it, shakes me up. And I was in bed, wasn't quite asleep, had my eyes closed right before you drift off to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard something in my ear, and it sounded like a woman's name. It sounded like my wife's mother say my name. It said just like it.
Wow.
Said, "Paul." And I went to open my, and I heard when I, as soon as my eyes opened, I don't even know how to explain it, but it's like I had a something. I couldn't see it, but I felt like I had something on me. It's like, I mean, I could move, but it was just like somebody trying to hold me down, but I could move.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the most disturbing, I don't know, it's like a growl, not even a growl, I don't know what it was.
Right.
But it's like seeing my eyes open, I heard that. And it was the scariest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, I can imagine.
I can't even describe how, I mean, I can't describe it. And then my son came in there one night, and he said, "Dad," and because we, you know, we'd be in the living room or something, and I would think I would see something walking by, but I would play it off. My son came in there, and he said, and we had a hall closet. Our bedroom was at the end of the hall. We had a hall closet there.
Okay.
And the hall closet, well, the doorknob broke off on it, and I never did put one back on. We had a latch inside it, because when you get to the hall closet to our room, you could go to our master bathroom.
Oh.
And it was like a two-way closet. You could go through that and go out into the hallway.
Oh, okay.
And so I just put a latch, you know, in the closet on this side. So, you know, my wife stored all her stuff in there, and, you know, clothes she didn't wear, and, you know, winter stuff, whatever she didn't wear, she put in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so there wasn't a doorknob on it, and so couldn't open when my son comes. I mean, he's freaked out, comes running down there. And about halfway, he starts yelling for me, and my nephew was there. And I come out, and he said, "I don't know what it was." He said, "But something opened that door." And he said, "All I saw was two red." He said, "I don't know if they were eyes. I don't know what it was." Staring.
Oh, jeez. Poor kid.
Yeah. And I forgot to tell you that night that, you know, I heard a growl. I had, like, three deep scratches from my knee all the way down to my ankle.
Wow.
And
that's not good.
Yeah. No, that wasn't good. And my daughter actually just informed me, you know, she used to wake up and she would have bruises. And she told my wife, she had bruises. She never did show me when that happened. I don't know why, but she showed my wife that she had bruises, like somebody, like handprints.
Oh, man.
Once you wake up, she would have bruises on her legs, on her arms.
Jeez, that's horrible.
Yeah, handprints, and so, you know, this is why we eventually got the hell out of there.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So my son saw the red eyes, and he did tell me after he called her nanny, after his nanny passed away,
mm-hmm.
for 2 weeks. And he's 18 now. And if he was here, he would tell you he would be in the living room, and when he would get ready to go to bed, or if he fell asleep on the couch, he'd wake up. And my mother-in-law used to sit at the table and work puzzles. That's what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And he would tell us, I talked to Nanny last night.
Oh, nice.
And I said, what? And they said, yeah, she was sitting at the table working a puzzle. And for 2 weeks, every night, he would tell us that. Saw Nanny again last night.
And he actually had discussions with her? Or he actually talked to her?
He sat down and talked to her. He said he sat at the table and talked to her.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, and see, I don't know if... Now I'm wondering, was it actually his nanny? Was there some kind of evil thing that got in there?
Yeah.
Some kind of... And I don't know, because, like I said, it's not like anything happened before, and...
Sure.
I don't know where it would have came from. I don't know. Maybe because we was in a, we was in a negative state, like I said, with all the stuff that happened. I don't know.
But I'll tell you, I think that if it was really something dark, I really think that we kind of feel it on an intuitive level, like, no, this is wrong. You know, like we seem to have, most people seem to pick up on that kind of stuff. And so, I would like to believe that it was really his nanny coming to see him. That's really beautiful.
Yeah, and I think because it didn't freak him out at all. He was but he was like just calm, didn't bother him at all. So I mean, it's like, and I think when I heard that growl, I swear I think it was my mom or her mom waking me up or they're telling me to open my eyes because something bad was fixing to happen.
Yeah, that's horrible. That growling is a very bad sign usually. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in.
Well, in a way, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I'm thinking that maybe my parents or her mom stayed there to try to help whatever evil did get into that house somewhat, because it got where my wife. And my daughter and my son, they were in the kitchen, and we had a, water cooler. It's 5 gallon water you put on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was outside, and I came in. I was getting ready to take a shower. I was doing some yard work. And those things full weigh 43.8 pounds. This was half full, so it was roughly, 21 pounds.
Okay.
And I heard just a crash, and I heard my wife and kids start screaming.
Yeah.
And so naturally, I run in there, the water bottle, and see, I don't even want to tell you this because I mean, people are like, you're so full of. But the water bottle, that's what my wife said, I didn't see it, and this is what my kids told me. It lifted up off the water cooler and flew across the room and busted on the wall. And not just fell off, no, it went across the room 10 feet, hit the wall, and busted.
Wow.
And it was a plastic jug, so.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some force to bust those.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it didn't. It didn't shatter, but it bust, put a crack in it, water all over the floor.
Yeah. Well, I know you might be hesitant to share that, but I got to tell you, we've heard many reports of people, having entire furnitures move and stuff. So, that's a lot heavier than 21 pounds. So, I believe you wholeheartedly. It's not unprecedented. That kind of stuff does happen. But it's got to be incredibly scary, man.
Oh, it was, and it got to the point where every time my wife would walk into our bedroom, she would have, you know, she got her dresser, she got her knickknacks, her pictures. Something would fly off the dresser or fly somewhere in that room towards my wife. Every time, I mean, like constantly. She'd walk in there, day, night, it didn't matter. She's like, and she would call me just crying. She's like, I'm scared to death. She's like, I go in there and she said, and it was a picture of my parents. She said, a picture of your parents just flew at me.
Oh, that's terrible.
And, yeah, and she had a coffee cup with her. You know, she had a coffee cup that she bought her mom. At Sarah, that was her mom's name, was Sarah.
Okay.
And that flew off the dresser, right? Because she had, you know, she didn't use it to drink. She bought it for her mom, so she set it up there, and that flew across the room at her.
Her little
cat figurine fly across the room at her.
That's pretty aggressive, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it got to where it was. Yeah, my wife was really fun to my daughter, and like I said, that's eventually why we moved. We'd have the water would just turn on in the bathrooms. It would just cut on.
Wow.
Yeah, TVs cut on and off. And thank God, whatever was there, and so far, we have not, since March, we've got, my wife's put every religious thing up she could think of in this house.
Sure.
I mean, it's like a church. It's church in this house, pretty much.
And that's good practice. I mean, that's good. Yeah, you got to keep those defenses up for sure, especially when you've had something dark like that. But, you know, the only thing you can hope is that it was anchored to a place for some reason or another and not, you know, to anybody.
Well, yeah, and that's what we talked about. And I was like, I don't understand why it was there, because my parents' house, it was, you know, when they bought it, I mean, it's not like it was an old house. It was a new house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And nothing. And then all of a sudden, all this, and I don't know what brought it there, why it came there, what it was attached to.
Right.
And I hope, and then, you know, it's that the time we were there, because me and my wife have, well, we had a great, I mean, we have a great marriage. I'm not saying we don't. We have a good marriage. Great marriage. We've been married for 22 years.
Oh, cool.
But it got to the point, like, while we were at that house the past two years, I mean, it was just like, we would be out, and it would be, we'd be in a good mood, and just when we get in that, it seemed like I my temper got real short.
Mm-hmm.
I was an asshole. Is what I was. I mean, sure. And she was too. And it's like our temper got short. We were screaming, yelling, fighting, arguing. It's just, it's like we weren't ourselves.
Yeah, right.
I could feel a difference when I was walking in that house. It was like a negativity every time I'd walk in that house.
Sure. Yeah. And that's real common with these kind of situations. I mean, you know, it's like it's usually referred to as an oppression, and it's not necessarily demonic. It can just be a dark presence. But you know, that's the way it happens, because you know, we when you're surrounded by it in an energy way, you know, I mean, it like permeates so much, and it becomes part of the environment, and it builds up and builds up, and you know, people are not themselves when they're in a real dark place, both emotionally and dealing with a haunting as well. You know, it's in the idea that, you know, you had mentioned that it was a new house, and you know, when your parents had it, you know, it doesn't have to be an old house. That's you know, I think a pretty common misconception, and you know, most people believe that, like, it's got to be an old house full of this, you know, amazing tragic history. But a lot of times you know, we hear many, many, many times that brand new developments are dealing with these presences that just appear. So that, you know, it's no knowing why they're there or how they got there, but it doesn't seem to be an issue of age or even circumstances. Sometimes they just show up. Maybe they just wandered in, who knows? But yeah, I mean, that's a tough place to be. And you're right, it's like a dark cloud hanging over everything.
Oh, and it's not something you can explain to somebody how you feel. It's just like when you would walk in there, and it was, I don't know, it's not something you can, it's not in it, I can't even put into words how you would feel when you walk in there. It was like your chest would get tight, and I would just get ill. I mean, not physically, I mean,
sure.
I would get mad. I'd be pissed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's just being in that environment, brother. That's nothing to do with, you know, because we don't know at the time. You know, we're just, all of a sudden we're mad. We don't even know why. And these things are really good at what they do. I mean, they're very good at what they do. And it seems like they need that negativity, a lot of dark presences, dark spirits. And it could be demonic, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. But they seem to thrive on that negativity, so they work overtime to create it.
Yeah, I started drinking. I don't drink now, but I started drinking and, doing things, you know, I mean, stuff that my wife was like, you know, this isn't you. My wife even started drinking, and she's not a drinker. She don't drink, and she started drinking heavily, and it just, a lot of things happened there that weren't, like I said, we've known each other for ever and a day, and it just wasn't us. And like I said, now we're out of that house, and I hope to God whatever was stayed there, because I mean, when we walked in here, my wife walked in the house, and she walked in, and she's like, look, I don't feel it. I was like, what? She said, I don't feel the negativity,
the darkness,
pressure. Yeah. She said, I don't feel it. I feel happy. I feel like this is a home.
Oh, good. That's good.
I mean, that was not a home. That was it. That was something evil was there, and I don't want to go back there ever again.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys did the right thing. I mean, there is, of course, a lot of times there's ways to get rid of that kind of stuff, but, you know, sometimes just leaving is the best option. So I think you did the right thing for both you and the family.
Yeah, and maybe we should have looked to get rid of it, because I even told the guy that I sold the house to. I was like, look. I mean, I gave him a steal on the house, so he probably, I don't care if it's haunted or not, I don't care if damn Jason lives here, you give me it this price, I'll take it. Because I told us, man, some weird stuff happened here, I'm giving it to you at this price, my wife's ready to get that. I mean, we sold it, you know, rock bottom, below, I mean, 50% off what the market value was, we sold it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, 50%, just to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get out. And my wife's like, I can't take it anymore, we're getting out of this house, sell it. I posted it actually on a... marketplace for, because we didn't owe any money on the house, we owned it, and
sure,
she said, post it, I don't care what you pay, what you get for it, I don't care if we get $10 for it, give me the hell out of here.
Yeah, and that's the right thing to do, man. There's no reason to, you know, torment your guys, you know, your whole family, just, you know, for money of all things. So I agree, and it, you know, as long as anything you got was in the positive for you, then fantastic.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, we're in a, you know, it's, we're happy now. We're like a family again. And
oh, good.
Actually, you know, it feels good after having, you know, 5 years of just torture, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which, like I said, it didn't start off, and then, but the last 2 years was not good at all.
And that's a lot to go through for a family. And the fact that you made it through it, and, you know, you guys pulled through and found another place to be that's much happier, I think, is, you know, it's a real testament to the love you guys have, because a lot of families do fall apart in those situations in a hurry.
Yeah. And I was telling you, and I don't know if you wanted to go through it. And be like, you know, I hear a lot of people on, you know, I listen to you. By the way, I love your show. Great show.
Oh,
love your
thank
show.
You.
And, you know, you hear a lot of people have various stories, and, you know, mm-hmm. and I went through it, so I know that what they're saying is true, but a lot of people that haven't had anything happened to it, you know, they say, which I don't care if anybody thinks I'm lying, I know what I went through, I know what my family's been through,
right?
And so, you know, I don't care, but, you know, I thought, you know, I told you just at the beginning before we got on air, you know, we were, you know, the creature that passed
yeah.
in front of us.
Please, I'd love, I want you to share everything that you've got, because, you know, a lot of people think that, well, I got so many things, but nobody's going to believe all this, but you wouldn't believe how many people. If you've experienced one thing, it's really, really likely you're going to experience other things. There just seems to be something about that one experience or one series of experiences will open the door on so many different things. So it's really, really common. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, and we're back. And we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Buckle up. We're going in.
Yeah, well, this is, and this, you know, this wasn't terrifying. This wasn't, this is just kind of crazy. We went to our friend's house. We was going to have some dinner with friends, and we were playing a couple games of spades and hang out. They had kids the same age as ours. We just let our kids play. Mm-hmm. And, well, we left. It was about 11 o'clock at night, you know, and the kids fell asleep on the couch. So I picked them up and put them in the minivan. Yeah, I drive a minivan. It's, you know, I'm yeah.
No worries. You're a family man.
It's practical. My wife loves them, so
good.
That's all. But you know, put the kids in the minivan. We left out. We, you know, we were just talking. All our kids were sleeping in the back. So, you know, come to the end of their road, and you had to take a left, and we got to the end of that road, and we stopped, and we sat there just for a second talking. You know, and like, you know, I'm the pastor, so, you know, not that I'm. Well, I don't trust my wife driving, so, you know, sure. I make sure nothing's coming too.
Right.
Looked to the right, didn't see anything. Looked to the left, didn't see anything. And then right in front of our van, at about 5 foot tall, it had like an auburn red hair from head. I mean, it was probably 3-4 inches of hair.
Mm-hmm.
Walked right in front of the van, didn't look at us. Didn't look at us, didn't, you know, it just walked right in front of the van, and I saw it, my wife saw it, and we sat there and stared at it, and it was, you know, it walked kind of hunched over.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was only a couple seconds we saw it, but it walked kind of hunched over, and it didn't walk like we did. Its knees never did. You know, when we walk, our knees come straight back. Well, this didn't do that. And its back was hunched over, and mm-hmm. its knees didn't come to a lock. Like, they wouldn't, I don't know. They wouldn't, yeah. They didn't come, it's like they were bent walking.
Right.
And its face didn't have any hair on it. Now, its face, mm-hmm. it had hair on its head, on its arms. I didn't see any breasts or anything, so I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if it was a juvenile.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Sasquatch. But its face was not. It wasn't like a monkey's, but it wasn't like a man's. I mean, I could only see half of it because it never did look. I could only see like a side, like a jail picture, pretty much, like the side profile.
Yeah.
But its face was. It was like a cross between a chimpanzee and a man. It had more of a man's nose, but it from the side. I don't like it, but it. Mm-hmm. But it looked bigger, and, you know, I couldn't see its mouth or anything, because, like I said, it never did. It's like we wasn't even there.
Wow.
It's like it walked right in front of us, and headlights hit it, and it never looked. I mean, we weren't deep in the woods. I mean, it's not like we were off. I mean, this is North Carolina. It's not like we're down in, you know, Oregon or Washington State. Yeah, we're not from y'all's neck of the woods. So it's, you know, there was woods around, but it's not like it was, you know, on the right side. I mean, it was like a field, a tobacco field, and on the, you know, left side of me, it was like there was some woods, but there was like they were clearing it off. I think they were building. I think actually there's a subdivision there now. But, you know, it's not like it was a heavily wooded area. I mean, you know, it was woods there, but it's not like it was heavily wooded. But it just walked right in front of us and never did look at us. And I didn't say, it was probably a second or two, and I looked at my wife, and I saw her eyes big, and she looked at me, and she said, "What the hell was that?" I said, I'm so glad you saw it, because I thought I was going crazy.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know.
It sounds like a juvenile Sasquatch, and here's the thing, you know, I think a lot of people that aren't really involved in the, you know, into really researching the Sasquatch, I think they, you know, the common belief is that, well, they're somewhere, they need these really deep, desolate woods, and that's where they stay, but there are so many reports that come out of even urban areas of these things coming through, and it seems hard to believe, but... You know, I just they are everywhere. People encounter them in some of the strangest places that you wouldn't think they would come. You know, like dumpster diving in a suburb. You know, of a major city, that's been reported many times. there's lots of different reports. There was a report coming out of apparently out of Detroit where there were, you know, seen going in and out of this abandoned home. And, you know, so I think that they're everywhere, you know, I mean, in a manner of speaking, like they don't seem to have a problem existing wherever they choose to. They seem to be about the most adaptable thing on the face of our earth because they're reported in deserts, they're reported in mountains, they're reported in swamps, they're reported in, you know, urban areas, they're reported in, you know, anything in between. And they seem to do just fine wherever they are. So they can be experienced anywhere.
Yeah, it was. Well, I mean, it was an experience. I told my wife, I was like, "Why didn't we take a picture? Why didn't I?" I said, "Yeah, yeah, I probably should. I'm glad I didn't do this." I said, "I should have ran after and tackled it." She's like, "Yeah, that's what you should have done. No. Yeah, you should have ran after and tackled it." She said, "That thing was only 5 foot tall, but it would have ripped you apart."
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like a chimpanzee is about.
He kind of, you know, which I believe in it too. It's Nina, he's like, he knows more about it than I did. He's like, I'm telling you, that was a juvenile. And he said, that sounds like, well, he said, there was a big one somewhere around there.
Yes, exactly.
He said, if you would have got out, it would have killed you.
Yeah.
I said, okay, well, I'm glad I didn't then.
Yeah, and you think about it, like a chimpanzee is about 3 or 4 feet tall, and they could tear a man apart, you know. And if this thing is 5 feet, yeah, though it seems small to us, but pound for pound, they are like, you know, superheroes compared to us. They're so strong. So, and he's right. Wherever there's one, especially a small one like that, you know there's going to be a bunch of adults around.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, I guarantee you there's a big one around you just because you didn't see it. He said it was either in front or back. And he said, well, I walked in front of your van. I don't know. He said, but there was a big one around there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And he said, maybe that's why I walked in front of your van, because it was a juvenile and it didn't know any better.
Right. Yeah. Maybe got stressed out and decided it had to get across the road to the parent, when it could have just sat tight. But yeah, it's hard to know because it's weird. I mean, they seem to be these incredibly, incredibly elusive creatures, but then you get reports like this. And so many times it was like, yeah, I was just walking across this field and I was there about, you know, 45 yards away. It just turns and kind of looks and looks like it just kind of dismisses me and then just keeps meandering on its way. Like they don't, sometimes they just don't seem to care that people are there. And other times they're just so skittish and shy, and it's hard to understand why there's such a variety of reactions. But I guess it's kind of like people, you know. Some people will wave and say, hey, how you doing? And other people will just keep their mind on their business and keep going.
Well, yeah, and I think it's, yeah, I guess that's the way they are. Because, you know, I've heard, you know, when I listen to, you know, I listen to your show and I listen to the Sasquatch Chronicles a lot.
Oh,
too.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, it's good. And that's another show I like. But, you know, I mean, like I said, sometimes you hear, I think they're like people. You get some good ones and you get some crazy ass people that want to, you know,
right.
You know, rip your face off.
Right.
So, you know.
No.
You know, a lot of times I think it's because, you know, people have bad experiences, you know. You're maybe wandering their territory, because if somebody wanders in my living room, I'm going to be pissed off. You wander in their living room, they're going to be pissed off, too.
Right, yeah. I think they tend to get mostly territorial when I think there are little ones around. They kind of freak out, and that's when they get most aggressive, is they want to keep people away. Like maybe somebody got too close to a little one and didn't know, and so that's when they do the really severe theatrics. But I think you're right. I think there's a whole variety of personality types in their population, just like ours. They're an intelligent creature, and you know, they have a different kind of intelligence than us. But I think they know very well what they're doing, and they know very well what we're doing.
Yeah, I believe you're right. Yeah, because I mean, they avoid us because, well, they know. I mean, why are they going to come? Because they know. I mean, nine times out. I mean, I'm from North Carolina, so
sure.
I know half these rednecks, if they see them, they're going to shoot them. And they know that, too.
Yeah.
Hell, I'm going to do it's crazy. They're going to shoot us if we go out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Know, for no rhyme or reason. I mean, they could walk across the field and go, hell, it's Sasquatch. Let's shoot. And maybe that's, you know, that's probably what they're going to have to do to, you know, for scientific purposes, to prove it's real. But
that's what a lot of people say, for sure. I hope that's not the case because, I mean, we just don't know how many of them are out there. There might be hundreds or thousands, it's hard to say, but I mean, for as many reports as they're coming out, it seems like there's tons everywhere, but it's just hard to know. We don't know the population density of these things. We don't know how much, you know, we don't know anything about them, actually. You know, you got people claiming that they're experts or, you know, these, you know, profound, with this incredibly in-depth, profound knowledge, but most of it's guesswork. We really don't know how much, other than they leave prints, They're seen everywhere, and they don't seem to want to be around us for the most part.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, like I said, I've been around humans. I don't want to be around. So, hey, I don't blame them. There's a lot of people I don't want to be around.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking.
Yeah, that's pretty much my story, Brent. I do appreciate you listening to it because it, you know, you gave me some insight that I didn't think about before because, you know, that whole, and, you know, I know you've had some experiences, that whole of just evil feeling in the present and what it does to you emotionally and the way you act is just frightening.
It is. And I would just like to say, you know, there's lots of reasons that a haunting can be introduced. And I just want to go over those quick with you while I got you on the air. But, you know, the first way is obviously something happened in a house or for some reason there was some huge tragedy there and there's a displaced spirit. Another way is that somebody was screwing around with something they shouldn't have been, like, you know, doing some weird practices can draw negative entities. Another way is just bringing something into the house, like you got at a yard sale or at an antique store or something like that. They can sometimes come with attachments, and they can end up in your home, and all of a sudden you're dealing with things you don't understand, and it's never happened before. Sometimes you got to stop and slow down and look at, okay, what did we do? What did we bring in? Did something get given to us? And, you know, kind of look at that. And then there's just I do believe that there are just these wayward spirits that just kind of wander around and try to cause chaos.
Well, and so you mentioned that bringing, you know, buying something like that. You know, my wife is the thrift store queen. She goes, ding, 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 she ding. Loves a thrift store, and she, like, you know, she likes all these old figurines and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we moved, we left probably 80% of our stuff there. I mean, you know, like, so when we moved, we got out. We left TVs, couch. We just bought everything pretty much new.
Oh, good.
And so maybe whatever we left it there. Because she's, like I said, thrift store queen. She'd go in there and just buy stuff. And, you know, if she got off work, and I'd be on, you know, I know where she's at. She's at a thrift store.
Yeah, that's a quick way to introduce something. And it's not common. I mean, it's not like it happens often, but it's certainly something to look at. I would just recommend that, you know, find, you said you're a pastor. Is that right?
No. I'm not. No, I said our house is like a church now.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, you got
my wife has it. Yeah. No, I'm not a pastor. I mean, I believe in the Lord. I'm not. You know, I'm by way, no way, a perfect person. Yeah, but you know.
All right, that was my inference. I'm sorry, I took that out of context. Yeah. But I would just say that find some kind of process by which you cleanse things before you bring them into your home, and it'll depend upon your faith. It'll depend upon, you know, what you believe and what resonates with you. But oftentimes there are, you know, there are, like, for instance, with Christians, there's prayer, there's holy water, there's, you know, asking for, you know, things to be removed and nothing dark to enter the house, whatever. And there, you know, there's sage, there's, you know, anointing with oil. There's many different things that can be done and many different practices. But, you know, if you bring things into your house, actually the quickest thing is if you bring something in your house and stuff starts going sideways, take it out of your house and see if the stuff stops. And if it does, then that probably whatever that is a part of that piece or that item.
Yeah, because I don't want to go through that again. I can't. My wife can't go through it again.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
And so I don't, you know, like I said, now I that's why we've got crosses. I mean, right now I'm looking at two crosses in the kitchen, and so, but I don't know how to prevent. You know, like, I don't want it to ever come back.
Right.
I don't know what I got to do. I don't want anything like it to ever come back.
Sure. Yeah, I just think be careful. Be careful what you bring into the house. And I'm not saying that that's for sure what happened, but that's just been reported many times that there are haunted objects. There are objects that have some kind of spiritual attachment to them, and that creates a liability, of course, when you bring it into your home. It can, you know, for lack of a better word, pollute your environment. So just a word of caution, I guess.
Yeah, we would definitely do that because I was pretty terrifying for her, especially in my other daughter. And, you know, I had some bad things happen, and, you know, I was scared. I'm being a man, I don't, you know, I don't, you know, like to admit I'm scared. scared, but you know, I was scared.
Yeah. No, I think you guys are did the right thing, and I'm so happy you guys made it through all of that, and you know, I'm so thrilled that you came on the show to discuss this and to bring it to our awareness, because you know, it takes a lot for a person to get up and say, "Hey, this is what happened to me." But it's really a powerful thing, because whoever's out there listening may become emboldened to share their story. And oftentimes I hear people say, you know, "I'm so glad I came on. It was such a great experience. I feel like I just put down this big brick I've been carrying around." And it's an honor for me. I'm just so thrilled that, you know, so many people have chosen to come on the show and share their experiences. But I'm just thrilled to have had the opportunity to talk to you, David.
I greatly appreciate it. And I feel a lot better. I feel I can, you know, somebody that's been through it and believe, you know, knows what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, so I greatly appreciate it, man. And like I said, I love your show, man. You do a hell of a job.
Well, it's my pleasure, man, and it's a pleasure to meet you as well. And please, you know, if anything else comes up, get in touch with me. We can, you know, have you back and cover anything new that comes up. But, you know, we're here for you, brother.
I appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude our discussion with David today. Thank you so much for tuning in. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.